So getting married, I didn't know what the kind of expected behavior was. So I thought, for instance, you have to have a cake, right? I thought it was like almost written into law, you must have a wedding cake. But then while I was getting married and doing my wedding, I realized, no, it's optional. It's like up to you what you want.
Welcome to another episode of A Significant Other, a podcast on the funny sides of relationships. This is the concluding part of my conversations with Monty, also known as Little Prince.
But now I realize that those questions were actually, it wasn't much benefit. Like, because at that point, when you're courting or whatever you call it, meeting, getting to know, you put on the best version of yourself. And you say things which you think the other person wants to hear. Yeah. But it's kind of this thing you have to do kind of thing. So we didn't get to do the typical kind of boyfriend, girlfriend meeting. And obviously there was a distance. So she was from Birmingham. I was in London. So if any time we did meet, it would be with families. But then what would happen is we'd probably break off from the group and go and talk to each other. But as I say, even then, it wasn't really organic, I would say. And I would tell my friends, like, you know what, I'm marrying this person. They're like, yeah, how long have you lived together? And I'll be like, we haven't. And they'll be, their jaw will be on the floor. And at that point, I'll be like, okay, maybe this is a bad idea. But now I also realize that however much you get to know someone, until you are truly living with them, traveling with them, living your life, ups and downs, you never really get to know that person. So it's an interesting one. I think in the end, there's aspects which about her which I wouldn't have actually chosen. So I did have a list before marriage of things I would want to look for. If you look at that list now, some of the things she doesn't have, or she has things that are not on the list, but I wouldn't give up anything now, now that I'm here. So I think you have a tendency to be quite idealistic in my culture, in the way we do it. And I mean, people take it to the extreme. I know some people, they even have marriage CVs. So they have like a little picture of themselves and bullet points about them and how much, but what their jobs are. But it just shows you how like warped this whole thing has become because of the way it's this kind of East meets West kind of thing, conservatism with modernism kind of meets. But I think we did it in a fair way. But yeah, in the end, I got married. So well, you had to do it. Cool. And yeah, and as I say, like being single was an okay position, but it wasn't always that fun. So I think there was an aspect of just needed to kind of move on with life. And I was luckier to meet her and we got married.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'm going to go into more juicy details.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So what does your wife do that gets on your nerves?
Oh, my God. See, this is the bit where I'm thinking I should not tell her I've done this interview. Gets on my nerves.
Something petty. Doesn't have to be too serious.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of non-serious stuff. Oh, she'll do things like little things like she won't use a cutting board. She'll prepare food on the worktop, which really annoys me because you don't. She tells me it's clean, but I don't know. It just annoys me. What else does she do? Okay, this is one annoys me. So she won't, when she spreads butter on toast, she won't get a knife. She'll just get the hot toast and get the stick of butter and smear it. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because the butter is just left with crumbs on it for the next person to deal with. Like, I don't want your crusty crumbs in the fridge. Things like this. But for her, like, I mean, it's not a big deal. So even raising it, it's no point, right? It's, and I'm sure I do stuff like this as well. Yeah, and things like this. And she does things like, oh my, you got me started now. So like, we have this toilet roll holder, like where you can put the toilet rolls in before they use. And she never fills it up and it annoys me. It's just this little stuff like that. But part of marriage is letting go of those little things because I also do this and more. And it's about choosing what to pick up and talk to them about. So yeah, she'll do it and I'll tell her and then we'll keep it light. But yeah, it's just just, I think, just part of living together. I think even if we weren't married and we were just living with a roommate, you'd like, deal with the same things. But then there's also deeper things, you know, like temperament issues. So not issues, but the kind of differences. So I'm quite, I actively try to deal with emotions and not be too worrisome and try to be practical and strong. So that's not my default nature, but I try to do it. Whereas her, she will, if she's got like, you know, an issue or anything, she'll talk about it. Because so she's an extrovert. She's more extroverted than me. So she'll want to talk about things which have happened or have gone wrong. Or the classic one, she's got a spot on her face. She'd be like, oh my God. And I'm like, what's happened? And she'd show me this little tiny thing. And I'm like, okay. And then now I just see the spot before her, and I'll be like, should we go A&E? Look, I can. And then she'll just laugh at me. So yes. So I mean, it's all sweet and all good, all cool.
Yeah. Does she complain about you like, oh, you've done this and I don't like it, like things that you do all the time, and she keeps complaining?
Of course. Then I do it more. Of course. But this is, yeah, part of living together, right? She'll do that, but I think we realize we need to do our part. So we used to be really bad, I think, because I think the other thing, so because we were conservative, we didn't live out properly. So when we moved in together, we had to get used to not only being with each other, but being and managing our own home. So that obviously meant that we had to just work together and remind ourselves to do things. So I think we're getting better now. So classic one would be leaving the dishes in. So we don't have a dishwasher, leaving the dishes just there in the sink. But now we make sure like we are cleaning as we go and cook, which is, yeah, I think it's just maturing. And I think sometimes it is a shame being from a conservative background. It's like you're a bit behind the rest of the people in your age group. And it's a bit silly to say out loud sometimes, because, you know, for some people it's obvious, because, you know, if you moved out of your house at 16, you've done these things. But there's people out there, you know, they're well into their 20s who are still having to catch up out and live. And it doesn't help that our parents can be quite, you know, close, or wanting to be closer than you'd be comfortable with. So I think we have to like contend with our parents knowing where we are, or have we locked the doors, or have we, like, silly things like that. But, you know, they're your parents. And as I say, I'm not sure if this is a east-west thing, but I find that like my parents and my friends' parents, where they're from back home, they're much more protective, and they want to kind of just, you know, have you in a protective bubble, and they don't trust you to really look after yourself. Whereas friends from a Western background, I find that their parents are much more kind of, not even Western background, but whose parents have grown up in the West, I would say. So even I have friends who are, you know, of my same ethnicity, but their parents are a bit more, you know, open-minded. So they have such an easy time, you know, their parents will let them go away, abroad and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, bottom line is our parents mess us up quite a lot. So yeah.
Interesting. Cool. What was the first gift you got for her?
Oh, the first gift. So, I can't remember really. It definitely wasn't something like massive or big. I think I'm going to sound like such a cheapskate, but I think I wrote her something like poetry or something. But that's not really a gift, I guess. I think I got a camera or something like this. That's cool. So she was always telling me, I want this camera. So it's like an instant camera. And I think the first meeting, I think I got her that. And like a spa thingy. But then the worst thing is she doesn't even use it now. I'm like,
amazing.
She's one of those people who will be like, I need this thing. And then I'll get it for her. Then I'm like, okay, use it now. And yeah, but again, this is one of those where I need to watch not go too far. Because she'll be, you know, it'll be an argument. But yeah, I think it was something lame like that. But we're both very, like, we're not very materialistic at all. So even, so getting married, I didn't know what the kind of expected behavior was. So I thought, for instance, you have to have a cake, right? I thought it was like almost written into law, you must have a wedding cake. But then while I was getting married and doing my wedding, I realized, no, it's optional. It's like up to you what you want. If you don't want a cake, you can have, I don't know, nothing or something else. And then the clothes, and I realized that actually the wedding belongs to you and you can do whatever you want. So part of that came into the issue of the ring. So I've been really passionate not to get a ring for the sake of it and, you know, fill someone's pockets and potentially an industry which is, you know, abusive and taking advantage of people in less fortunate countries. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I don't want to do this, but it feels like I have to do this. So in the end, I was like, okay, I'll get your ring. But even now, since then, I still haven't got her a ring. But it's not a big deal for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how it should be. So it should be, you shouldn't feel like you're being led or you're being pressured to do anything. Mm-hmm. Now, she'll probably hear this and think, you cheapskate, where's my ring? So yeah, that's one to do. So one day. But it's not the be all and end all, I think.
Yeah, so if you're to give an advice to your younger self about a relationship, what would that be?
I think it'd be the same advice right now. So first of all, love yourself fully. Put yourself even before your partner. There's an African saying which says, how can you trust someone who's naked that gives you their shirt? It's like, if they are naked themselves and they're giving you their shirt, there's something not right here. So make sure you, before you can give love, you are loving yourself. Have a shirt on yourself before offering it to someone else. And this was critical. So I said I had a big period of self-reflection. So I think that really was my kind of preparation for knowing who I am. And I think if I hadn't had that, I wouldn't have been prepared to give what I need to give my wife. So I think love yourself, work on yourself, understand your limitations, travel. I advise everyone to travel, go and see the world. I promise you, your mind will, you don't know everything basically there is in the world. You may think that you know you're up to date with, you know, the latest current affairs, you know politics, you know how the world, but you really don't. You know, when you go to Asia and you see people, you know, on the street, or you see the like big businessmen in like Africa, you think, what, this is Africa? And then you realize that this, where you are right now, isn't the pinnacle. Actually, there's other people doing things better or worse, but it's cool. The thing is to observe it and to understand and to humble yourself that you are a small player in the world and you don't own it and you don't understand it. It's constantly changing. So travel, get out there, humble yourself to that, learn about yourself, and then make yourself such an interesting person who loves themselves and who invests in themselves that you actually attract people to you. And who knows, one of those people may be your love of your life, and you know that might happen as well. So yeah, that would be my ultimate goal. And then secondly was to not compromise on that. So once you do get married, still have spaces in your relationship. So don't just suddenly give up parts of yourself, which I think a lot of people do. I think it's important to have boundaries even in marriage. So you have your own time, you have your own space, intellectually you have your space, spiritually you have your own space. But also don't get married, I would say, don't get married to someone whose values don't align with yours. So you may, you know, we all have this, you see someone beautiful outside, but if their values are not the same as yours, you're not going to be living together for very long, because you're going to clash. And you're going to clash in marriage anyway, or relationships, sorry, I keep on saying marriage, any type of relationship, you're going to clash, and you don't want to be clashing on big things. So have important conversations up front. Don't shy away from them. Try not to put on an act, even though it's hard, and you have to. I feel like the current dating scene is horrible and tiring and draining, and it's a sham, really. And almost you have to put on this version of yourself. But always we need to realize that we're going to attract to, if you do that, you're going to attract people who are attracted to that version of yourself. And when that version of yourself goes away, and when they see the real you, maybe they won't be attracted to you anymore. So I would say try to be authentic to yourself, even if that means you think you're a loser, you think you're ugly, you think, it doesn't matter, just be yourself, and there will surely be someone you know who will love you for who you are, And yeah, surround yourself with positive people as well. Don't isolate yourself. So that's something I did a lot. I used to isolate myself. But yeah, traveling and pushing myself to talk to people, you know, to the cleaner, to the my boss, to, you know, people I work with, it really brings you out. So that's some advice I would give myself as well. Not to be isolationist. And just, yeah, be yourself. Be kind to yourself. Invest in yourself. Don't fuck around, you know, on the internet too much, and Instagram and Facebook. It's a waste of time if you do it too much. Games as well. Do it in your weekend, whatever. But don't throw your time away. So do it, but don't overdo it, because those things, basically, vast amounts of time will pass doing those things, and in the end, you may not have moved, or you may not have fed your spirit. Try not to dick around too much. And I think it's easy to do now with all the distractions, especially when you're young. All these kind of shiny things, you know, marketed to young people. Do them. I'm not trying to be like a grumpy old man. Like not but do them, but just have some control, and yeah, surround yourself with people who will help you in your journey.
Well, Monty,
yeah,
Raju, thank you very much for being on the Significant Order. And I'll be more than happy, maybe one day, to hear from your wife and hear what she has to say.
Thank you, Kingsley. It was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. I'm sure she would love to come here and just rinse me out one day. No, she's lovely, and I'll let her know. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's all on this two-part episode on The Significant Order.
Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you did enjoy listening to the podcast, please drop me a comment on Apple Podcasts and also share with friends. I'd also like to hear your story and have a chat with you on the funny sides of relationships. The podcast has an Instagram page. You'll find the link in the description notes of this episode. Thanks for listening.